Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On this Wednesday, Bert Breer is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Has your bank changed? Then change where you bank. At Rockland Federal Credit Union, they have the account for you, providing their members with quality, convenient, and friendly service. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you.
I am a criminal. Give me your money. Give me some money at Christmas time. I am a British criminal. I am.
Play the Pogues for him next, if you don't mind.
No.
Jim.
No. No.
Do it.
Give me your money. Stick them up. It's a hold up.
Bert. What's up, Bert?
What's happening? Sorry. You guys are already feeling froggy. It's like we got a week left.
Oh, no.
Oh, you should come in Friday.
We're done Friday, boss.
Come on in Friday.
All right.
So, we drink on Friday.
Okay. You guys have.
We still got the game on Saturday and stuff, but pretty much Friday's it for us.
All right.
We got a grievance we got to air with you.
You do?
Yeah.
Over what?
Yeah. It's not football related.
Oh, is it the AirPod thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So I.
Oh, hold on. Let's tell people what it is first.
Okay. Go ahead.
Bert tweeted out yesterday that maybe the worst development.
Douchiest development.
Douchiest development of 2019 is that people are wearing their Apple AirPods, those little white wireless headphone buds that you see everybody wearing now, that this is the worst development. And let me read it. People casually wearing AirPods everywhere gets my vote as the douchiest development of 2019. Trying to look important, instead coming off more like a self-involved telemarketer.
Oh.
Bert Breer, 14 hours ago on Twitter. That's what he had to offer.
Okay, so here, I'll clarify it. If you're listening to, if you're on a phone call, fine. If you're listening to podcasts, fine.
Here comes the, okay. Here comes the backtracking.
No. I was on the Acela last night, and this was basically, I've noticed this with certain people. They're having conversations and the AirPods are in. And like they're like talking with other people, not conversations over the phone.
Yeah, like you and I would be talking right now, but we'd still have them in.
Right, and it's just like it used to for me it was like 10 years ago. It was the Bluetooth headset, right?
You know what? Like people like, would put on here. Jim had one of us, and he'd do this, and he'd just touch it. Like
it was a way of like wearing the Bluetooth headset.
That
like,
pisses me off.
It's like people thought it made them look like an executive or something if they were walking around.
All of a sudden, you're because
I always have to be available.
Gordon Gekko.
So yeah, right. So like. And this is probably because I spend the first 2 days of the week every week in New York, and when you're walking the streets in New York, you see it freaking everywhere.
Which is a major problem there is what you're saying?
Now,
everywhere.
How many guys in New York do you see walking around, I don't know, with jeans and a shirt with cufflinks and a fleece vest?
So this is the
douchiest things you see ranking, how about a guy who wears jeans and a dress shirt with cufflinks and... Do you have the $600 Ferragamos on today?
No, he's got sneakers.
No, he's got sneakers
it's
today.
Worse.
All right. I'm just wondering, like in the tiers.
Wouldn't that
right?
make me an expert?
Yeah. You'd open it. You open up the encyclopedia, douche, and there's your picture.
Nobody knows douche like Bert.
That would make me an expert. I mean, like, there's a line though there, and the AirPods are on the other side.
So
of the line.
You put your jeans on, then you go to your dress, put your dress shirt on, then you go,
and then you go and put your cufflinks on.
I'm going up to Burlington after. I have a rotation of dress shirts. Some of them have French cuffs.
A lot of them have French cuffs. I like the French cuffs. It's a good look.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, if you're going to a wedding, I agree.
So you guys, so you guys are okay with people wearing the AirPods 24/7 then?
Yeah, cool. Kids do that.
Yeah. I have no, I don't wear them.
I don't see, you know what?
I don't own a pair.
Kids are different though. I'm not talking about
kids. The players, have told me when they don't want to talk to people, they put the big headphones on. Even though there's no music on, they pretend to have them on.
Well, the fake phone call is the other move.
Fake phone call is the other move.
Yep.
I imagine walking around in New York a couple of days every week, you see it a lot. And if you walk around down here in the Back Bay, where you used to live, you probably see it a lot. Yeah. But just, I don't see it all that often.
Here's my biggest issue with you going after people with AirPods on. Jim, read the tweet from our friend Eric in Charlotte that just tweeted us a moment ago.
97% of my ear AirPod time is spent listening to Zoe and Bertrand live on the Sports Hub app.
Bert, I am not going to be upset that people are listening to audio, whether it be podcast or streaming, whatever it is. I am all for them listening more, not less. And if their AirPods get them to that point, I am all for it.
Well, it's like
Don't forget, get to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Okay. Get download our hourly podcast or In a Nutshell every day.
This fits
get the app.
Okay, so like this is like the same thing as me. Like when a player says something stupid, I don't want to come down too hard on him because I want them to speak.
This would
freely.
Be like you saying, "Oh, I hate how everyone's always on their phone, like reading things. Like what is this?
Yeah.
Really? As a media guy, being upset with people consuming media,
consuming your content,
unbelievable.
Yeah,
you fool.
It's just the. Is it not like the Bluetooth thing?
Is it
2019 version?
No, because
of the
Bluetooth thing was solely for phone calls.
No, but
this is for doing anything.
You're right.
It's for phone calls.
You're right about that.
Or podcast or show, whatever it is.
I think there's an element out there. There are people who wear them as fashion. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
There are people
that wear them as fashion. I see them on the train.
There's an element to that. There's an element to people being like, it's part of my look. Sure.
Yeah. Like just the same way the Bluetooth was.
Like a pair of sneakers would be or anything else.
Yeah.
Yep, I can see that.
That's what I have a problem
with. I'm thrown off.
Thank you for helping me get there, by the way, because I did finally get people who wear it as fashion. That's what I have a problem with.
I don't know why you have a problem with that.
I'm thrown off more by the people who still wear the Bluetooths, and you see them. You go into the right stores.
You're still hanging on.
Convenience stores, generally. Sometimes
Uber drivers.
Emily, where'd you get that thing? If it breaks, is there any chance anyone can still fix it?
Hey,
you understand technology.
Where'd you get the Jabra?
What year is the Bluetooth earpiece?
Like a whole headset?
Is that 2000? It's at least 10 years
ago. It's 10 years ago.
I'm going to say 10. 10's a good number.
Usually went with a BlackBerry. That wasn't an iPhone attachment. Right. That was like an accessory for a BlackBerry. Usually.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And the everybody went to iPhone.
How do you even get your mouth in there?
I had one for a hot minute. I thought, wow, I got to see what all the fuss is about. And they were awful.
Awful. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Every time I talked to Jim, I couldn't even hear him. No kidding.
I had a crappy old car. I didn't have the Bluetooth.
It is stupid ear thing in, like you're fancy.
No, it's quite the opposite. I had a crappy car that didn't have Bluetooth. Yeah,
and they kept getting smaller. That was the thing. It was like, ooh, look at this new one, even smaller than the last one.
All you got to do is touch it. Just touch it and call. look how cool it is.
I'm glad we got this out of the way.
Yeah.
Thoughts for Bert on this? 617-779-0985. Maybe you have a flashlight recommendation as well for Hardy. We're still accepting those because I'm half interested in that, Hardy.
Oh, I'm pretty much decided. I'm getting ready to pull the trigger over here next commercial break.
All right, Bert Breer is going to be with us here for the next couple of hours. We're going to talk to Stephon Gilmore at about noontime today. That's the plan.
Yep.
We're giving away Patriots tickets at the end of next segment at 11:30. What? No, I'm sorry? So we'll do all that coming up, and we'll obviously talk football with Bert next.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
It was the night before Christmas, all white with snow. I was lying back waiting for my baby to show. I was searching my mind for the right things to say. But she had to leave the very next day. When out in the driveway, I heard such a clatter. I dimmed all the lights and put on Clyde McFadden. And she came through the doorway and she gave me a kiss. And the rest of the
Bert Breer is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Patriots tickets coming up at the end of the segment. We'll give you the details.
This is dumb.
This is swinging a miss.
This is like a Jungle O song where like the music doesn't match the voice. Slow it down.
I asked Hardy, what Christmas song do you want to hear?
Is this the Neville Brothers?
He said Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville.
And they said, so Tom said, Such a Night. And they were talking about how much they love the song. Tom and Hardy.
I said Aaron Neville, and Tom goes, ooh, which one? Like, how do I pick?
How about Oh Holy Night? Not this.
I would not have pegged T-Bone as a big Aaron Neville fan.
He rocked a vest. He didn't even put a shirt on underneath, though. That's a denim vest. Showed off those guns. Big flabby guns.
way to go, big man. Phil Perry, that is. NBC Sports Boston writes that Tom Brady is not under contract for 2020, as has become painfully clear to all in the six-state region by now. Whether or not Jarrett Stidham is a real factor in the contingency plan should Brady not return, the snaps Stidham sees in practice alongside starting caliber offensive players are valuable as an evaluating tool. Quote, we can evaluate everything he does, Belichick said. That's what we do. We played that clip earlier. That's what's going on in practice right now. Maybe an evaluation, an assessment of where Jarrett Stidham is at. But let's talk about Tom Brady first.
Yep.
How do you think Brady has looked in recent weeks and specifically this week? It appears to most of us that there's something going on there.
He did not look right. I mean, and I don't know if you noticed this, but it looked like he was like high consistently.
Yeah, there were two throws that came out to the left that wobbled.
Yeah,
and took off on him. One was the overthrow to Sanu.
Yeah, and I know with
young,
the other one
I know with young.
I
think the James White.
I know with young quarterbacks, what they say is when they start to take a lot of hits, you start to airmail the ball, right? Like it's just sort of what happens when you're looking at the rush and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's not him at this stage.
I don't think it's him. I don't think it's him, but he is sped up and like. You know, I still think he's physically capable of making the throws he needs to make when he's healthy. And I'm not sure he's healthy right now, so that's a question. But I still remember this 10 years ago when Favre was...
Elbow. Yep.
Favre had the elbow in 08, and then in 09, he was great. And then he came back in 10. And I remember asking a scout, like a couple scouts, like what should I be looking for as far as age in a quarterback? Because, you know, it's not like a corner or receiver where you can see it with those guys. They can't run anymore. Like they like a corner might get beat down the sideline.
Receiver can't get
separation. With a quarterback, what I was consistently told by these guys, watch his clock. Yeah. If it starts to speed up, he doesn't trust himself physically anymore. And you saw it with Favre where his wiring got all screwed up at the end of the 2010 season because he couldn't get himself out of trouble the same way. So he started to unload the ball faster. He started to look around a little bit more. And I wonder if we're starting to see that with Brady a little bit. Like it's just, it feels like he's sped up.
You watch the touchdown to Harry where he slides left, slides in the pocket. Now all of a sudden he's got a clean pocket, sets the feet. Now he's on the toes. He throws a freaking dart to Harry. Watch the long throw to Harry, clean pocket again. Mechanically perfect, you know, feet set, boom. That was his best throw of the day, the one that got called back for OPI, ridiculous call. And then when he's forced to move a little, now the feet aren't right, same thing down in Houston, ball sells over Dorsett, sells to the left over Sanu, because if the elbow's bugging you and you drop that down and you don't have your feet set to where you're getting everything in, it's like a golfer that has a bad back or something. If the feet are right, he could still get through the swing.
Yeah.
But if you're going all back or you're just going all arm, now all of a sudden that's where it becomes
and
a
we've
back.
Seen it. And we've seen it pop on guys. So that's sort of the scary thing here is like we saw it with Roethlisberger earlier in the year. His elbow was sore. It popped. We saw it with Favre in 2008. His elbow was sore. It popped. I think you've absolutely got to manage it, right? Because if it's anything close to that, you've got to manage it. And I mean, it feels like, again, like Zoe said, if things aren't perfect around him, can he still make it work? And the real trouble that you have now is if this was like...
Well, he was on with the toe 2 weeks ago,
if this was,
the toe's bugging him and he can't move?
Right. If this was... But if it, like, here's my main point. If this was the 07 offense or this was the 14 offense where you had Welker, Moss, Stallworth, Gaffney, or the 14 offense where you had Amendola, you had Edelman, you had Gronkowski.
Talent and receivers around him.
You could make up for it. But there have been years where they've asked more of Brady. Let's call it what it is. They've asked him to carry the offense. And it feels like this is one of those years, doesn't it?
If
And I don't
here's
know that
the, I wonder, Bert.
I just don't think, like you're asking too much of him right now.
Yeah, let's say it's 2014 and all those guys are still here. Reliable guys.
Right.
Edelman and Amendola and Gronkowski. Would they have put Brady on the bench at some point if that team was still together or if this had happened in 2014?
You mean you get to give him a blow?
Yes.
Like, maybe.
Because they weren't reliant. They didn't, you know,
they didn't
obviously
need him to carry the team.
He's a great part of it, but they could get by against the not so great teams by letting him sit.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's possible. Like, if you think that you could, if you think, now, I don't know the medical part of this, if a week off will make it better, but that's what they do with baseball players, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, rest is probably going to be good for it, but, right. You know.
Which, of course, brings into focus the importance of the bye. Which, if you don't win on Saturday, you're probably going to lose it. So, I don't know, man. Like, I just, again, like, it just feels like one of those years, and we've seen them in the way that the roster's kind of gone back and forth over the years. We've seen years where they ask him to do more. 2006, 2010, when he was playing with a lot of younger guys, and they traded Moss in midseason. 2015 was when they had all the injuries, right? There have been years where they've asked more of him, and he's always delivered. And again, like I brought this example up every week with you guys. It's like John Elway at the end of his career. John Elway could not have carried the 86-87 Broncos to a Super Bowl in the state that he was in 97 or 98, right? But in 97 or 98, he had Ed McCaffrey, Rod Smith, Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis, and the best offensive line in football in front of him. And like
everything
I just
was built up around him,
right? And it was like, we don't need you to throw for 300 yards every week. We just need you to use your knowledge and your experience and be as clutch as you've always been. And like Zoe, with guys like Amendola and Edelman and Gronk, when they were at their peak, what could you do in those situations? Well, they're getting open quicker. That you can throw with anticipation because you can count on them being places.
Edelman in the Super Bowl, they can't cover me, bro. They can't cover me. You haven't heard that this year.
Yeah.
So now there's a Stidham angle as well. He's been getting meaningful reps in practice, as I read at the top of the segment.
I think it was interesting how Bill offered that up, too.
What do you think about him saying what he said yesterday?
I thought that was really interesting. I mean, he doesn't normally talk about what goes on in practice. He doesn't normally talk about what happens with injuries. Like, that's a pretty basic question that I would say 26, 27 of the head coaches would answer that way. So it's not
he's
like
not one of them.
But he's not one of them. Right. Like, so, like, normally as far as who's getting reps in practice, how it's benefiting the younger players, and, you know, how an injury is impacting that. Like, almost, I mean, I felt like what he said was there's a silver lining in the injury, which I never feel like he says that. Right?
Saying silver lining sounds like, you know, they're he's happy about the side benefit. Which maybe he is, but I didn't.
Which, I mean, look, I'm not saying it's callous, but it's like, it's a fact. There is a silver lining there. That position, I mean, because that's the one position where backups don't play.
Bert, I think Bill wants to move on to a younger quarterback and start over again. I do. And I think.
What does that mean for the rest of the roster?
Stidham right now is that the next guy that they have to take a shot with. And I don't know if he thinks Stidham is great or is mediocre. I don't know. But I just think that he represents the future.
Right,
whether he is the future or not, that's what he represents.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think that sort of gets the juices flowing there for Bill a little bit, you know, like Jimmy Garoppolo did. And so I look at it and say he was willing to say it yesterday because he just likes the idea of moving on from Brady at some point because he thinks he's ultimately going to be right. And right now, the evidence on Brady, the evidence with Brady said he's breaking down.
So
like right now, he's got an elbow injury. The guy. Is his play is being impacted by it.
So the counter to that,
hold on. But if Bill knows, like, he reads it and looks at it, he goes, okay, he's getting his ass kicked.
Right.
He's not the problem. Like, the problem's up front. Mm-hmm. If I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I think ultimately Bill does want to win that way. But if Bill knows this isn't him breaking down, this is him getting his ass kicked, and that's on us.
Well, right. So the counter
is the elbow injury, again, it wasn't started by the hit to the elbow. It was just started
could have been a hit
many
early
weeks
in the year.
Before
you don't know that.
Dallas.
You knew it was bugging him before Dallas, but you don't know if it was from a hit or...
Yeah, but that if you took a hit on it before Dallas, I would think that that would not be the lingering issue now, all these weeks later, like a bruise.
Although when you're older, I think we all know.
Like the way he's working out the elbow and holding that video that Giardi had in his thing online, this looks like, as Hardy said earlier, an internal elbow ligament type.
It's weird because he didn't wear a neoprene sleeve on it. Is that what you would do? I would wear it, yeah, because it'd keep it warmer, especially if you're playing in cold Cincinnati and it was raw there.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you wear one of those black sleeves on it? You know?
The counter to like what you're saying, too, about Bill wanting to see Stidham, why didn't he put him in the game? They were up by what? They were up by 20 at the end? Like, why didn't he put him in the game?
Right.
That's the other thing is like, if he was.
There have been times where he could put Stidham in to manage games more.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dalton takes the snap. Fires to the right. Pass to be intercepted by Gilmore. Goodbye. Gone to the 50. Left sideline 40. To the 30. Stephon Gilmore to the 10. En route to his second pick six of the season. Touchdown, Patriots.
Gilly locked that one up. What an angle by Gilmore off this. Patriots show blitz late. Gilmore closes. It's a throw to the flat. It's a hot route. They showed blitz, baited him into throwing it. Gilly Locke jumps it for a 64-yard touchdown.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle bells.
We got a Pro Bowler on the line.
About time. Van Noy ain't ever getting in. Jeez. This guy's a lock.
Stephon Gilmore is with us. Brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stephon Gilmore, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. First of all, congratulations on the Pro Bowl. I know ultimately that's not your Super Goal, but that's a hell of an award. Talk about the interception there. I mean, was that really a blitz? Like I said, it looked to me where he's got to throw hot in the flat. You read it. You jumped it. Something you saw in film.
Yeah, it was a good call, you know, by the coaches, and I just trusted what I seen, trusted my eyes, you know, and trusted my teammates, and you know, I was able to make a play on the ball and return it back for a touchdown.
You really felt that you should have had four in that game, right? I saw you said that after the game.
Yes. Say it again.
You said, yeah, I think you said after the game you thought you should have had four interceptions in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I could have if I was point on, but you know, you have those moments in the game where you know you see something and it don't happen the way you want it to happen. So I always feel like that after a game that I could have done better.
You think you're the defensive player of the year?
I mean, my play speaks for itself. I mean, if you really watch the tape each and every game, I don't it's no question.
All right. Stephon Gilmore with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. This week's game on a short week, a very important game. Is there any extra importance for you going against your former team, or is that thing dead for you now?
It's just obviously it's a big game for us. We know what's at stake, and, you know, we have to, you know, trust each other and keep trying to play Patriot football. It's a big game for us. It means a lot, but once the whistle blows on Saturday, you know, everything goes out the window and you have to go out and perform.
Hey, Steph, I want to get one more question regarding last game real quick here. Tyler Boyd said after that game that he won pretty much every matchup with you in his one-on-one. What do you do when guys say this stuff? Like, are they that detached?
Maybe he was confused, or maybe, I don't know.
Wrong game, right?
Here was his quote, just in case you want to know it.
Like, I almost lost my mind when I read this.
Don't feel obligated to
respond. Looking at.
Don't feel obligated to respond. He just said this. He said, quote, "It was just one-on-one. I won the majority of the matchups."
false confidence.
Hey, obviously you get selected to the Pro Bowl, as does Hightower. Great awards, the same thing with Slater. I think you should have at least three or four more. Edelman, Van Noy, McCourty. Do you guys take this as a team as a slight that, you know, not that other teams or other voters or, you know, peers of yours are
the Ravens got 12 guys.
The Ravens got 12
freaking
guys.
Absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we know we've got a lot of great players on our team that probably should have been in, but, you know, it's part of it. A lot goes into it that people probably don't notice, but, you know, we got a lot of great players on our team that should have made it, but, you know, we know that as a team that it's part of the process.
Well, Van Noy is always looking for signs of disrespect. I think he should take this one and run with it for the entire defense and for the whole team. Let him know. Just get him fired up if he isn't fired up already.
I think he's probably
sure covered.
Hey, I get one more on Buffalo for you. What, Josh Allen? I mean, game four, I thought you guys made him look foolish. Some of the interceptions. How much has he changed as a player as far as being better and sort of settled down, you know, now that you see him in week, 15, 16 here?
Yeah, you can tell he's gotten better over the year. You know, he's making great reads. He's throwing the ball pretty well. And, you know, his skills players making plays for him. And, you know, that's part of the game. You try to get better each and every game. And at the end of the year, you want to be where you want to be. So, I feel like he's done that, and we got a big challenge ahead of
him. You like playing against those big windup guys? Like, he's got, you know, 6'6". He's got that big, long windup. Does that help you guys as DBs?
Everyone's different. Every quarterback's different. But, you know, you just got to trust your technique, trust your preparation, and, you know, trust the teammates, and everything else will take care of itself.
Well, that is working out for you right now.
What'd you get the two little ones for Christmas? Oh. Or your wife take care of that?
They want everything, but my son won Pokemon and Transformers, and my daughter, she just wants everything. So she wants everything he wants, but she don't really have.
That Pokemon gets weird, though, man. Trust me on that. It takes these kids down some weird avenues, man.
Yeah, I try to let my wife handle all that.
Transformers have really stood the test of time, too.
Yeah, those
really
Transformers have. Are good.
They really, really have.
Yeah.
We have Optimus Prime
yeah.
It's the yellow one.
Get the Nerf. Bumblebee. Get the Nerf guns too. Nerf guns are good.
Yeah, he know every dinosaur too. So. I don't know.
All right, Steph. Thanks,
Steph. Good luck,
Steph. Thanks for taking the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, Steph Gilmore, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He's having an incredible year.
Yeah, he is.
So
I think he's the defensive player of the year. That's why I asked that question, which he answered.
He thinks so, too.
Yeah.
who's the other candidates, really?
About to tweet that one out. That was a pretty good question.
Yeah, it's not a runaway J.J. Watt or Clowney type year, you know?
I mean, that was quietly a very, very strong statement. I, you know, my play speaks for itself. If you really watch the tape, there's no question.
Well, he's always said that.
Yeah.
Best corner in the league, yeah. Whoever he plays.
Yeah.
He's like that every week. That's the best thing about him is confidence.
But you have to have that to play that position.
Right.
And that's like a prereq. You got to be
almost a swagger type position.
That's what you want. He had two picks, should have had four, had a pick six. Jackson had two picks. How the hell did Tre'Davious White get defensive player of the week, AFC defensive player of the week? Like, he beat him out for it. It was two awful throws by Hodges, by the way.
Yeah.
So you watch the two picks White got.
Yeah.
And he got defensive player of the week for the AFC.
Who votes on that?
Coaches, right?
It's not media. I think I'm pretty sure that's just done by the football ops people.
Oh, they weren't picking a Patriot this week.
Another slight. Yeah.
While they were digging through the tapes of the previous week, they weren't going to pick one. Maybe, I don't know.
We've got some league stuff we want to get to with Bert Breer. 617-779-0985. We'll keep talking Patriots as well. Brady, Stidham. Where Brady's elbow is at this weekend's game with Buffalo. We got a lot to get to. Also want to mention the Lions and Matt Patricia. I want to get Bert's thought on that. All that's on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand. Another chance to win Patriots tickets at 1:30 today. We already gave away the first pair. Thank you for trying. Another pair coming up at 1:30.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Christmas Eve and the children won't say another one.
They can't understand nothing.
And I'm only sighing
and singing a song.
The rare old mountain dew, I turn my face away.
Freaking way.
I dreamed about you. Got on the lucky one. Came in late 10 to 1. I've got a feeling.
He don't know. He don't know either. What's he saying, Hardy?
As he only sees, I sail the seven seas.
It's more about the feeling it gives you than actual trying to interpret it literally.
Make you feel all warm inside.
I don't think that was their intended effect, no, Bert.
I drink as much as I can and sing a song.
Shane McGowan still with us, Beatle?
Who?
From the Pogues?
Oh, that I don't know. Dead or alive? Is or was? Is or was?
This is something I should know. It seems like is.
All right.
61 years old. Has not looked well for a long time, though.
Shocker.
Still going, though.
Is on to say.
Let me know when you're ready to go. Okay, all right.
Let's go. To Bert.
All right. Bert Breer, 617-779-0985. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete. Pete, you there?
Hey guys!
Hey, hey Pete.
Sorry about that. I hit the phone accidentally. Hey, happy holidays to all of you. And
thanks,
the reason I was calling today was Brady, as far as going into the Buffalo game with his elbow and the way the Bengals were getting to him. To me, the biggest victory the Patriots can get this weekend is he doesn't come out of the game more injured than he already is, because Buffalo's going to bring it. And to me, if he gets any more injured than he is, they're in deep trouble.
They have a vicious pass rush. They get up the field. Lawson, Hughes, Edmonds in the front.
Oliver.
They're active. Oliver. I mean, they could get to you with four down. That's a scary part, because New England has not been able to handle four down.
It's a good defense. I mean, it's
a really good defense. It's solid.
They're young. They're going to get better. I mean, like Milano, who I believe is a BC guy, has been really, really solid for him next to Edmonds. White is developing into a top five corner. It looks like a defense that's not only good right now, but it's the same sort of defense that Sean McDermott had in Carolina when they were building around, Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis and Josh Norman and all of those guys.
And so there's a real fear that he could get hurt in a game and you need to go to your backup, which I'm not looking forward to if it happens. From what we've seen of Stidham so far, there's nothing that would make you believe, they're really going to have something there. And that's not to say they won't at some point, but I'm not buying in on that yet.
Yeah.
Like some people think that he's definitely the next guy. I'm not sure.
I mean, how could you be? He's a fourth round pick. I mean, I
don't know. You'd have to ask those people.
I mean, it's how, if you want to go through team by team, how many teams are starting non-first round picks at quarterback? The number's low. You're one of them.
What was Davey? Davey was a fourth rounder.
Who, Rohan?
O'Connell. Yeah.
He was a sixth rounder, I think.
Sixth rounder.
I think
O'Connell
second or third rounder.
Third rounder.
Yeah, third rounder.
And they pulled the plug earlier.
Garoppolo was like the last pick.
Jimmy was the highest guy they ever reached for.
Was the second pick? Was the last pick of the second round? Way down there, right? Maybe in the 60s, like the low 60s.
Yeah. But still, it's the highest
that's the highest guy. That's the highest they've picked a quarterback since Drew.
Yeah.
Was Garoppolo. So, it's just, look, I mean, it's harder to find your long-term answer if you're not drafting one in the first round. And because they found Garoppolo, I think people have an idea here that, whoever they draft is going to become what Jimmy became. That's just not the way it works.
Well, I also think that they have a better coach than
infrastructure. They have better infrastructure than most other
teams. And they have a
better
setup than every other team.
Right.
And so if there's a team...
There's a better chance.
They say, first-round picks. Right. We can name a million guys who were drafted in the first round who are terrible.
Right.
Speaking of Jimmy, how bad of a loss was that for San Francisco? They were in control stuff, man.
I just think, I don't think Atlanta's as bad as their record. So, it's a bad loss. It's a bad loss, and it sucks losing it that way.
And they're building.
I mean, I also think as a young team that had played a lot of big games in a row, was just coming off the emotional win in New Orleans.
Them.
Yeah, I mean, it may be good for them just getting kind of punched in the mouth that way.
They still have Seattle on the
schedule.
Look,
who thought at the beginning of the year that they were going to have 11 wins going into the last 2 weeks of the year?
It's crazy.
You know? So, and it's still, largely a young team. There's a lot of, consistency issue. You come off the big emotional win in New Orleans.
Right.
It's not that far-fetched that you wind up laying a little bit of an egg at home.
Yeah, it just shows you that they could be vulnerable. come playoff time.
Well, I don't think Green attention
Bay.
Will be your.
Tell you what,
like, I don't think your attention spans
Green
your Bay issue is just, playoffs, though.
Green
you know
Bay's
I mean?
Just yeah. hanging around and hanging around, and they're just.
It's weird. No one's talking about
nobody because everybody's talking Saints. Everybody's talking. You know, oh, all of a sudden maybe Dallas is finding their way.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I honestly.
No, but seriously, if Dallas gets in. I wouldn't want to play them wild card weekend.
I mean,
if I had to host a game.
I mean, how many people out there know they have that Green Bay's got the best record in the NFC? You know who else isn't getting attention is Minnesota. And Minnesota's playing right now.
That's
Minnesota's
true.
Minnesota's playing awesome
They
right
were
now.
So bad at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Burt's personally invested stuff. In Minnesota playing well because he's been riding that Minnesota train for two seasons.
I picked them to win the Super Bowl after the 18th mm-hmm. season, jumped off the bandwagon, so my timing's probably just bad.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's Burt's NFC version of Cincinnati.
I was just off on the timing a little bit.
Beetle, remember when he started with us, the Cincinnati talk?
Yeah. Dan is in the car.
Bengals were talented back in the day.
It's Yo, you guys are crazy on the Stidham hate. I don't understand. You guys
should
be bullish on this kid.
Well, I like him. No.
I like him too.
But I'm talking specifically the pedigree. When he was in high school, he was like number one quarterback in the state of Texas.
That's right.
Right? He was prime time. Ends up going to Baylor, lights it up, huge recruit, the whole nine yards, the whole Baylor nonsense happens. He ends up transferring to a program with an offense that didn't really suit him. But I mean,
I agree with him.
He was 17 years old.
I agree with all of that. Like, and I think that they, you know, in a way, what they saw in Stidham was what they saw in Danny Etling the year before. They've started to do this with quarterbacks. They're taking quarterbacks that are distressed assets, right? And so Etling, they felt like he wasn't coached very well at LSU.
He was more athletic, I think.
Right.
They look at Stidham as more of a thrower.
They looked at Etling and they said, okay, like, well, there's some physical ability to work with here. He wasn't coached all that well at LSU, so maybe if we give him the coaching, he can be a little bit more. It didn't work out. Stidham, same thing. Like, he was in a system that didn't really fit him at Auburn. Like, that's still the Cam Newton offense there. So he wasn't really suited to run that offense. They felt like there was something to work with there physically. He'd played for Art Briles at Baylor. He was a huge recruit coming out of high school. He's got physical ability, and he's a great kid by all accounts. So you bring him in and you say, maybe we can get more out of him than they did previously. Again, it's a fourth rounder, so it's still a little bit of a flyer. You're not like deeply invested in him, but there is reason to be optimistic about him. I look, there's not hate here. I'm just saying the chances of like finding your quarterback in the future are far lower in the fourth round than they'd be in the first round.
I just think that if we're going to start talking about your pedigree and where you were coming out of high school, picking a college, what a useless conversation that is. No, let's go back. I got a list of five-star quarterbacks coming out every year. You want to go over that list and talk about pedigree and whether or not they turned into NFL quarterbacks? It's not a great list. Jimmy Clausen was a five-star guy.
Yep.
Ryan Mallett was as well. Please. Oh, pedigree. First round arm talent. Why don't you give me that line next? What a useless conversation that is.
I almost thought he threw it to break there.
Mark Sanchez was too.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
USC.
Great.
And he wound up being a high draft pick.
Yeah. And how did it work out?
Didn't work out.
Yeah. Okay. You got to be bullish on him. He's got pedigree. Went to USC. What?
But I do think it's relevant that there's talent to work with there, and that's what those lists usually judge is physical ability. And so if you feel like you're coaching and your environment's really good, maybe you can harvest some of that physical ability.
We have Burt Breer with us, another hour to go with Burt. I want to ask you about the Lions situation. They elected yesterday to stick with Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. Here are the headlines, no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.